WCQ Arizona. Welcome to Ham Radio and More. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW. Today's show is sponsored by Antennas West, Showtronics, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock, and Wallpaper World. My guest today is John Moore, NJ7E, and we'll be discussing all sorts of different things today. Our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-5366. If you're out there in the DX land, we'll pay for the call, so give us a call, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. We invite your calls. If you have a question for John or you have an announcement to make, any announcements, club announcements, if anybody's going to have some classes or they want to buy or sell some equipment, we'll take those calls today too. So join in and participate. The more participation, the more interesting it gets. Okay, I want to thank those of you who have been supporting this show by sending in your QSL cards. I really appreciate the station sees the response that there are people out there and listening, and we really appreciate it. We put your cards, again, your QSL cards, into our little file here and pull one each week and give away a prize. So I'd appreciate it if you keep sending in your QSL cards. I sincerely appreciate it and, again, encourage more of you to do so. Mail them to Len Winkler in care of KFNN Radio, 4800 North Central in Phoenix, 85012. And I'll also send back to you a unique QSL card which features my call and KFNN Radio also. John, glad to have you here today.
Hello, Len. How you doing?
I'm fine. And I think what I'd like to do is start off initially and talk about what we did last night, and that was we went on the famous tea hunt that Arizona or Phoenix is known for, and there were six or seven teams that participated.
Just
five teams
last night, yeah.
Plus the hiding team. Okay, so six teams participated.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that we've gotten a lot more professional. We've got I have a sheet in front of me that gives the names of some of the teams, and we've got, let's see, the Independents with Hal Mann, Sandy Farley, Christopher Saunders. Team Beam with Bill and Bonnie Peanuts. Is that pronounced? I hope so. Then we've got Team Alpha with Mike Zussman, Doug May, and Dave Cowley. And then we have a few other teams, and they don't have any question. They have question marks. They don't have any names. Now, I heard a rumor, John, that we were getting a name of our team.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing too. I think the kids on the team came up with this.
Yeah, we're a unique team. Both John's daughter and my daughter. John's daughter, what is her call?
N7MAT.
N7MAT. That's like my son's first name, Matt. But anyway, and my daughter is trying to learn it so she can pass the test possibly in Tuthill. But so we have a unique team: two adults and two children. So they've come up with the Yuppies and Puppies. I don't know. I kind of like the young and the reckless. Anyway, who has anyone not familiar with a tea hunt? John, you want to explain what a tea hunt is? I'm sure most of the people know, but I'll bet you that the majority of people have never been on one.
Well, a tea hunt, and another term for this is common in ham radio, is a fox hunt, and also radio sport. The basic idea is that somebody goes out and hides a transmitter, and a bunch of people compete to see who can find the transmitter first, or who can find it with the least mileage, or various other criteria. And usually whoever wins a tea hunt hides it next time.
Mm-hmm. And we did that last month, and we tried our best to win last night. And what was interesting is the starting point last night was at Scottsdale Road and Thomas. And John has a Doppler antenna system set up in his truck there with, was it nine antennas?
No, the Doppler's only got four.
Oh, only four, excuse me. So you got so many antennas.
Well, there's nine total.
Oh, okay. Anyway, and so we were heading north on Scottsdale Road, and there were three of us that came to Scottsdale and Camelback, and we turned east. One team went north, and another team turned west. So it just showed that we were all a little off the beaten path. Anyway, it took us. We came in not first. We came in second, and we were about 10 to 12 minutes behind Team Alpha, which again is Mike Zussman, Doug May, and Dave Cowley, KD7DR, W7IXA, and WA7NIY. And they found it first, and it was hidden. It was hidden in the Paradise Valley Shopping Mall in the garbage area next to the parking lot, next to the the parking garage
structure.
And it was hidden inside of a car. So and they were using a 9-element beam, was that?
Well, they had two transmitters set up. They had a transmitter up on top of the parking structure with a multi-element beam, and were pointing that in various directions and bouncing the signals off of the mountains, which caused us some difficulty. And then the actual transmitter that we had to find was a remote base, which is to say an unattended transmitter that was in a car. And there was a note next to that, and this is a fairly common way of doing it. There was a note next to it that once you found it, you saw this note, and it said to call them on a certain frequency and tell them. And that's how they would know who was first and who was second and so on.
Well, we certainly invite more people to get involved in the tea hunts. I guess it would be a lot of fun if we had... this has been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
Well, I've been involved, I think, 14 years, and some of the people were doing it that are still in the tea hunts were doing it long before I got involved. So, yeah, it's been going on here on 2 meters for quite a while, and it's a tradition that has long roots in ham radio.
And then we go for pizza afterwards and have a good time.
Yeah, we all get together and explain what thing that we weren't responsible for that caused us to not be first.
Right. Like someone last night, their truck broke down.
I thought that was a novel excuse.
Yeah. We caught every red light or we'd have been first.
That's right.
You know, so.
Absolutely. Never mind, we turned the wrong way at Camelback.
Well, that had no bearing on it whatsoever. We really did that to get to Hayden because we knew that would be quicker. But we invite more and more people to participate in the tea hunts, and it happens the second Saturday of every month, unless for some reason it's called off. And it starts promptly at 7 o'clock, and the next one, which will be in August, the starting point at 7 o'clock is at 7th Avenue, is it? 7th Avenue and Camelback in the Target parking lot. And you don't necessarily need a Doppler antenna setup or beams, but I guess it does help. Has anyone won using something other than that?
I think that everybody who's won has used some kind of equipment other than just a handheld radio. But we used to hunt with just a 3-element beam for a long time, and now we use a Doppler. But it doesn't take a lot of equipment. Sometimes the people with the primitive equipment beat the people with the sophisticated equipment. And it is a lot of fun. I want to second what Lynn said. It's an enjoyable sport. It teaches you a lot about radio propagation, and it teaches you how sneaky some of these people are when they hide the hidden transmitter.
Well, which reminds me, what is the most unusual tea hunt that you've been on?
Well, actually, the best one that I've heard of, and I wasn't on this one, person with the hidden transmitter dressed up as a Skid Row bum and had a walkie-talkie in a paper bag, so it looked like a bottle of liquor, and would pretend to drink from this bag while talking on the radio. And even when people had localized the signal to right around this guy, they were afraid to go up and ask him anything about the hidden transmitter.
Well, I heard of one. I was talking to Ward Wheaton about a week or two ago, and he told me about one where he had a transmitter underwater at Encanto Park in the pond attached to something that looked like a duck. And it was remote controlled, and so he'd move the duck back and forth. People thought it was real, and I guess someone went swimming to get it or something. I don't know. That was kind of interesting. Anyway, I encourage everybody to participate. It's just one of the multitude of aspects that different areas that you can get involved with ham radio. And by all means, if you're interested in that sort of thing, you can probably find somebody you can ride with if you don't want to set up your vehicle for it. There's usually room for somebody in somebody's truck or car.
Let me mention that normally, although this wasn't true last week, but normally Well, the 146.94 repeater is used to coordinate the hunt. So if you want to come out, you can get hold of people on that around the time of the hunt and make sure you end up at the right place.
Okay. I want to again mention that our phone number is 241-1510, and I need participation from you people out there. Give us direction. Okay, I want to bring up the fact that on July 26th, 27th, and 28th, there will be the ARCA's Fort Tuthill Ham Fest. And everyone, of course, is invited to participate. Everybody should be there. I'm sure everybody has intentions of being there. There's going to be some gifts given away, prizes. There's going to be a Kenwood TS-680, an ICOM 24AT, a Kenwood TH-27A. There'll be VE examinations given by the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club on Saturday. Your walk-ins are definitely okay. You don't need to register in advance. There'll be an ARCA meeting. There'll be repeater meetings. There'll be a repeater owner meeting, a YLRL meeting. There'll be a kids program. There's camping facilities, of course, and all campers should be self-contained because there's no air conditioning power, AC power to be supplied. It's $5 overnight inside of a fenced area. Tailgaters, it's $10 a space, $5 to camp overnight again. And that's the July 26th, 27th, and 28th. Next week, we will have Lee and his wife Lynn Pemberton and Jeff Hanna and Jim Stevens from Antennas West all as guests, and we will talk about the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest and also about ARCA. A lot of people have heard of ARCA, and I'm sure everybody knows what ARCA is, but they don't really know too much about it. So we'll discuss all that next week, and it should be interesting. By the way, the talk-in frequencies for the Ham Fest will be 147.88 and 447.125. So we invite... Go ahead.
That's 147.08. 88 is the input frequency on that.
Well, it says 147.88 and 147.28. So...
Oh, okay, the 88.28.
No. Right, okay. I could have been wrong, though. And if anybody wants some... advance information, you can call Hal Mann at 963-6830. He has some advance tickets if you're interested in that. Let's take a call. I have Gary WA9TJV from Chandler on the line. Oh, welcome to Ham Radio More, Gary.
Yeah, my question is this. I recently got back into amateur radio, and I know where quite a few of the surplus stores are located, you know, for do-it-yourselfers, but the only ham radio store that I'm familiar with is what, Ham Radio Outlet. Are there any other, stores that cater strictly to amateur radio in the valley here that you know of?
that's a ticklish question. That handle it. There are some other. There is a electronic firm in the East Valley that sells amateur radio equipment. I believe it's Sunvale Electronics on Main Street. Of course, there are some surplus stores like Tri-Tech and Megahertz.
I've been to those places, but I'm talking about that would cater almost, handle the ham type equipment and things like that.
Unfortunately, if you can find one, I'd be very happy to know the name.
There are quite a few mail order stores out there.
Yeah, basically it's mail order. You know, if you don't want to go to the name you mentioned, for some reason, then you would need to use the telephone. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of stocked stores in the city of Phoenix, or in the state of Arizona, for that matter.
Seeing the population as it is, but still the, having a high-tech and oriented people, you would think they'd have more. I lived in Chicago before I came here, and there were more than, a dozen that I could go to within 45 minutes driving time, but this seems to be the only one, the one that I mentioned, that you can get actual ham gear or used amateur equipment, possibly,
Yeah, I think that's right on the ham gear. There are electronic stores. This is a high-tech area, and there's a number of outfits. In fact, Phoenix is sort of a mail-order capital, so it's one of the best places in the country to buy a computer or electronic parts. But as far as ham radio goes, I think we've seen in the industry more of a consolidation. There's just these big chains now for the most part.
Right. Okay, well, thanks. That's all I had to say.
Well, Gary, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your listening. How long have you been here in Phoenix?
10 years, but I've only been on the back on the air about 4 months. I was off the air for 17 years, and everything is quite a bit different than it was when I left amateur radio, and one thing that is kind of appalling is the price of gear.
Well, that's why you need to go to the ham fests and buy them used sometimes.
And to be there this end of this month to try and stock up on my want list, you know, but I could hardly believe that the prices of amateur equipment goes higher than even $6,000. And one more thing that I
sure.
noticed that I've always wanted to talk to someone about, and was going to do it on the air, on the ham bands, that is the lack of people that build their own equipment, and they just buy this plug-in stuff. They just run out, buy a new ICOM or a Yaesu or something, cost $4,000, $3,000, plug it in and call themselves amateur radio operators. I don't think that was in the true spirit of the hobby. I mean, I thought it was to build and get a better working knowledge of radios and their capabilities, when in fact most people go out, buy a transceiver, plug it in, and that's the extent of the hobby for them. You know, it's kind of sad in a way. You know?
Well, let me address that a little bit, because that's a common thing that you hear. Ham radio has a number of purposes, and certainly one of the purposes is to develop technological skills in people. Another purpose is public service. Another one is emergencies, public safety sort of things. There's a lot of different parts of the hobby. And the other thing I would, a couple of other comments, there are very few hams today who have the skills necessary to make what you can buy for a few hundred dollars, like a synthesized HT or something. And I speak as an engineer, and I don't think I could design most of that stuff and get it to work. So I think that if you look at it as what hams put together today is not individual gadgets. They put together systems. They put together systems of repeaters. They may not build the radio, but they put together the system. They put together packet radio systems and bulletin boards and put computers up to radios. And that also is a level of experimentation, and it's a systems integration sort of thing.
It is a level, I understand that, but I'm talking about things like antenna tuners, being able to cut your own antennas, you know, like build even a kit, if you want to call that building. But there is some knowledge that's acquired and some knowledge that's needed to build kits. I've built many a Heath kit in my day, and I just see a lot of it that has gone by the way. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm not getting a true representation, because when I first got back on the air a few months ago, I only put up a homemade conduit dipole for 10 meters, and I don't think 10 meters is a good cross-section of amateur radio. I just, as of yesterday, put up an inverted V for 20 meters and got back on 20 meters these last 2 days. I've made a few contacts. The antenna works and everything. The SWR is, it's okay. It's not as good as I'd like it. I have to trim the antenna a little bit. But what I'm saying is that low-level skill that I think amateurs should have, you know, it's, and I hate to say this, and I don't mean it to be derogatory toward Citizens Band, but it seems like a lot of it has gone toward that end, where you just get a radio, you know, and you plug it in and you start talking on it, and I don't think that it's serving the hobby as well as it should be. And lastly, I would just like to say, I don't see at the ham fests a lot of younger people, kids involved, in, especially in a time when we need to involve kids in things. Well, you know, there's a great technological gap between what kids can do nowadays and what they could do when I was growing up. You know, we could work on cars and work on radios and know about electricity. And I see a lot of them today, they don't know how to work on a car. They don't know the first thing about electricity.
Well, Gary, on August the 11th, I believe that's the second Sunday in August, we're going to have the Explorer Post 599 and four or five kids, and I call them kids, male and female, that will be here in the studio. And you're going to see that they are doing activities, and we are trying to get more and more young people in it. You're right. You know, I go to the meetings, and there's a lot of older people in it, but there's also younger people coming up. I just think it takes, you know, they need more exposure, and we're trying to do that on the radio here and get more and more people involved in amateur radio. I mean, this is the first time that it's had what I'd call mainstream visibility in a long time. You know, it's hard to get an amateur radio show on commercial broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, this was a total surprise to me, but that's what I'm talking about. We should make an effort to bring more young people into it because it is a good hobby. It keeps kids occupied and it teaches them something that's useful for the rest of their life. You know, if not the radio end of it, at least the electronics end of it. You know.
Okay, well, Gary, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your listening, and please call us again.
Okay, we'll do that, Len. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Don, N7QXZ from Glendale. You're on Ham Radio and More. Welcome.
Good day, sir.
Good day to you.
Got a couple items for sale.
Okay.
If we can go that route.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Got a Yaesu FT207R.
Okay.
Needs a little bit of work. My roommate was wonderful enough to put a golden screwdriver into it. So basically we'll take, you know, any reasonable offer for it.
Okay.
We've got a Tempo TMH with the patch on the front, the keypad.
Okay.
Take a reasonable offer for it.
Okay.
We have a Seagate 250R, which is a 42 meg hard drive internal. We'll take any reasonable offer for it. Also, we have miscellaneous computer parts, keyboards, monitors, and cases for sale.
Okay. And give us a phone number where we can reach you.
937.
I'm sorry, say it again.
937.
Mm-hmm.
8973.
937-8973?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I thank you for calling, Don. I hope you get some calls on that and sell some equipment.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your participation.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, Jim Stevens, KK7C, wanted me to remind all of you that he'll be presenting a very informative seminar on HF antennas at the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest, and that, again, is in about 2 weeks, July 26th through 28th. His is going to be on Saturday morning, and I think he said, he's not sure exact time, but it's 9 or 9:30 in the morning. It should be quite interesting. Antennas West is a manufacturer, of course, of quality antennas and many, many other items, all at extremely competitive prices. Antennas West will have a booth at the Fort Tuthill Ham Fest in the commercial building, and he will feature all the many products that we've discussed on this show and many, many more products that we haven't even touched on that he also sells. Again, Antennas West sells QSL cards. They're available in as quick as 1 day. The QRV half-square antennas, solar power supplies, solar power panels, the QuickKit G5RV antenna, the quick-launch antenna installation systems, Omni-Loop antennas for all different frequencies, TNT Windom antennas, and many, many more products, including the popular Tiger's Tail, which, John, I think you can vouch for, definitely improves the gain on an HD. We tried it at your house on the spectrum analyzer, right?
Yeah, I was a little skeptical, but we tried it, and it made several dB gain difference, the improvement.
Okay, and that's just a simple wire connector to your HT, and it absolutely works. All his products increase your gain, make all types of installations possible, even in extremely small areas like apartments. My suggestion to everybody out there is give Jim a call at 1-800-926-7373. Call him now, or probably tomorrow morning would be better, and ask for a free information pack to look over so you'll know in advance all the different products he'll have at Fort Tuthill. Usually he charges for the, because it's a big, extensive package of literature. I mean, there's a bundle of stuff, and he usually charges postage to ship it to you. But just mention Ham Radio and More, and he'll send it to you free of charge. And it'll give you an idea of all the different products that Jim has to offer. And, of course, stop at his booth at Fort Tuthill, and I'd appreciate if you mention Ham Radio and More to him. He's one of the people that thankfully keeps this show on the air for everybody, so please support our sponsors. Anyway, give him a call, Antennas West, 1-800-926-7373, 1-800-926-7373. John, let's talk about something that you're familiar with and that you had a hand, I believe, in starting or getting involved in, and that is Northlink, which a lot of people are not real familiar with. I, for one, know what Northlink is, a group of repeaters, but what frequencies are they? Where are they located? etc. Tell us a little history of Northlink.
Okay, if anybody wants to write down the frequencies, I'll give them in a minute. You may want to get paper ready. There's a bunch of them.
Okay.
Northlink is a linked repeater system that extends basically from Yuma to Navajo Mountain out by Page. We put it up because we wanted a system that allowed access into the valley and access throughout the state from out in the boonies, basically, up in the mountains, so on.
In the cool country.
Yeah, that place where we all like to be right now. So it is an open system. We have membership. You don't have to be a member, but like any of the repeater systems, it's the membership contributions that pay for these things. They're not cheap. We have rent to make on all the various mountaintops and things like that.
So that's the Northlink?
It's called the Northlink Association. Let me just give you real quickly the frequencies and the locations. The farthest south site is outside of Yuma on Telegraph Pass. The frequency is 441.8. And we currently do not have that on link because there's a mountain in the middle of our link path, and we're working on that. Then we have one on South Mountain. It used to be on the Valley Center, but we moved it to South Mountain for better coverage. It's a really great repeater for the valley area here. It's on 442.125, and it has a PL of 100 hertz. Now, that doesn't mean it's a closed repeater. That PL is to prevent interbond. And we may PL all our repeaters pretty soon. But again, that doesn't mean you can't use them. It's just our way of keeping a lot of noise off the system. We have a repeater in the North Valley, and that's on 442.075. Not a real wide area coverage right now. The Arizona Repeater Association Mount Ord UHF machine on 444.5 is linked into Northlink. That covers Payson, Roosevelt Lake, that general area out to the rim. The Mingus Mountain Repeater Group's 442.150 machine is on Mingus Mountain. Northlink has another machine on Towers Mountain, which is near Crown King, or between Phoenix and Prescott, if you don't know where Crown King is. That's at about 7,600 feet, and that's at 449.175 with a reverse split on that, a California split. We have the Mingus Mountain machine, I should add, covers down in the Verde Valley real well. We have another machine on Mount Eldon at 442.125, again, with 100 hertz PL. We also have a 2-meter machine up there on 147.08, and that's a local Flagstaff machine. It can be brought on link. We have our two machines on Navajo Mountain. We have the 449.375 and the Grand Canyon Wireless Association 2-meter 146.96, and that can be linked into Northlink on command. And that's covers the Lake Powell area and Page. And finally, I want to announce our Grand Canyon machine, which will be...
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Northlink is going to be in the National Park on the South Rim, looking down into the canyon. We will cover down in the hole on 2 meters and 440. Our UHF frequency is 442.075. And our VHF frequency there will be 147.30. The UHF will be always on link, and the VHF will be command link again. So that's our system there. And we will have frequency charts and membership application information at the Fort Todd Hill Ham Fest and various other places.
Where can they get information before? Anywhere, or just want to wait till Tuesday?
Yeah, if you're interested in joining Northlink, if you use our system, or if you want information, our dues are $20 a year, and that's by calendar year. And for those dues, you get a membership card, you get occasional newsletter, and the warm and fuzzy feeling that you're supporting one of the best systems in the state. I'm a little biased, of course. You can send your information to Northlink Association, care of Hartley Gardner, Hartley like the oscillator that we all studied, Gardner, and that's at 3602 North 31st Street, Phoenix, 85016. Or you can call Hartley at 956-4259.
Okay. Now, John, we had a trivia question. We thought you thought long and hard. I don't want to take credit for this. You thought long and hard for a trivia question. Now, our number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. And there's like three different things that you can answer for this question. And every time you get one of them correct, I mean, if you mention one thing, you'll get a T-shirt. You mention two, you get a T-shirt and cap. Three, you get a license plate. So, John, you want to ask the question? And again, our number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366.
Okay, the question is, who was the first ham in space? Name, call sign, and what vessel?
Okay.
What spacecraft?
Okay, so what's his name? What spaceship was he on? Ah, see, I had two lines go start, and they both all, now someone's gone. Okay, and what vessel? In the meantime, I'd like to thank Alan Shope, the president of Showtronics, for being my guest last week on the show. He answered many, many questions that were asked in an easy-to-understand and extremely interesting way. And that is the same way that he runs his absolutely free 8-hour class on computers, which he gives himself every Saturday, and the advanced class that he gives on Tuesday. I mean, that class, if you went somewhere else and signed up for a class, you'd probably pay $100, $150 or more for an 8-hour session to learn about computers, and he does it free. All you need to do is call Showtronics and register for the next free class. If you're computer illiterate, you won't be after you take his class. And when you walk into Showtronics, look at all the computers set up, and you're ready to test drive. There's over 15 of them, more than any other store around, from a simple 286SX machine to the all-powerful 48633 with, of course, the built-in math coprocessor. From regular color monitors to the 19-inch big Mitsubishi color monitor that he had, It's truly an amazing display. But the most amazing thing about Showtronics, no, not the fact that they have over 45 employees on hand, no, not the fact that they have electronic engineers always on premise, or the fact that they're open 7 days a week, including evenings, and they have 24-hour sales and technical support, no, not the fact that they have more machines on display than anybody else and free classes. The most amazing thing about Showtronics is their prices. You can buy a 286 machine with a VGA monitor, 1 meg of RAM, a 40 megabyte hard drive for as low as $939 complete, or a 38633 for only $1,649 complete, or an amazing 48633 for $2,469. Absolutely amazing. And remember, go into Showtronics, mention Ham Radio and More, and save. They will and they will give you free. They will give you free a box of high density diskettes just for mentioning Ham Radio and More. So just walk in, say, "Hey, I heard about you guys on Ham Radio and More," and they'll give you a box of high density diskettes. That's pretty good. So go there and see for yourself. Remember, mention this show, Showtronics, 1831 West Rose Garden Lane. That's about 2 miles north of Bell Road, off of 19th Avenue. Or give them a call at 256-2266, 256-2266. The best price is the best service, and the more you know about computers, the better Showtronics looks. Okay, we have a winner online. I'm trying to read Ray's writing here. Is that Don Kuman?
That's it.
That's it. I didn't pronounce it right. Come on, Don. Help me. N7QXZ.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We just talked to you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What kind of answers do you have?
The gentleman's name was Owen K. Is it Garriott?
Okay, that's right. Yes.
His call sign was W5LFL.
Correct.
And the space shuttle was Columbia.
Hey, you get everything. My goodness. Are you a an astronaut buff?
No, sir, I'm not.
Oh, just happened to know that.
Just one of them ones.
A trivia question. Well, we thought long and hard, or I should say John did, and came up with that. I thought it was a pretty good question.
It was,
yeah. Okay, well, you've won a Sundrop T-shirt, and Sundrop, of course, is good news for Arizona. He's positive about Arizona. He's the governor's proclaimed goodwill ambassador for Arizona. You've also won a Sundrop cap that goes along with it. It's kind of cute. And also a license plate with Sundrop on it. He's a custom character for all kinds of charity events, and he's everything that's good about Arizona. And for more information about Sundrop, it's 275-7450, 275-7450. And if you've been watching Channel 10, you'd see that they're running big promotion with Sundrop and Channel 10, and he's going to be involved in all kinds of upcoming activities. So that's the Sundrop. Anyway, Sundrop will contact you within the week and tell you how to pick up the T-shirt and stuff. So thank you, Don, for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. What's next? Did we... We heard about the new one that's going to, the new repeater that's going to be in the Grand Canyon. Are there any auto patches on any of the Northlink repeaters?
No, Northlink doesn't have auto patches because the repeaters are all tied together.
Oh, okay.
Auto patches would put too much of a load on it. Plus, we're a small organization and we don't have control operators. And we don't have the funding to pay for an auto patch, so no auto patch.
Okay. Let's talk about something that I know you're involved in, and that is the Official Observer Program. What is it?
Well, there's really two programs now that are tied together. The Official Observer Program is an ARRL program that's been around for a long time, and its purpose is it's basically people who monitor the ham bands and... when they find typically technical problems or rules violations, they send people a little postcard and inform them about it. The volunteer monitoring is done, it's in association with the FCC, and its purpose basically is to reduce the workload of the FCC in the case of amateur-to-amateur interference. So that every time we have some jamming, accidental or intentional or whatever, the FCC doesn't get a bunch of phone calls and have to do a lot of work on it.
Okay, we won't spend too much time on that, but it's interesting to know that that exists and hopefully could curtail any problems that might occur with that program. Okay. What is True Value Software? I know what True Value Hardware is, but what is True Value Software?
True Value Software is the name of my little business where I build and sell repeater controllers. And
where have some of these repeater controllers gone?
Well, this really got started with Northlink, and there's many of them here in the state, all of Northlink, most of ARA, most of Mingus, Broadway Consumer. That they're all over the place. UHF system, another open UHF system in California that uses them. There's one of them was sent to Armenia, I was told.
Armenia?
The earthquake. There's one in Mexico City. They get around. One in Puerto Rico.
How many about have you sold, or is it?
Oh, I think around 100 or so. This is a spare time. It pays for my hobby. It's not my business.
I understand, but it's...
But thanks for the free advertising.
Yeah, well, should I say where to get in touch with you if they want a controller?
Sure, they can call 951-9326.
Okay.
And they'll probably end up talking to a machine, but I promise to return the call.
Okay, let me tell you, if ARA and Northlink and all these other places have used them, I think that he makes a good product, and I really didn't do it as a plug, but to say more that he does get it. It's amazing the things that John gets involved in, and I've been to his house on a couple of occasions and seen his array, and he doesn't even use DOS on his computer. What do you use instead of the DOS?
Well, I have a DOS. I use Unix, but that's because that's what I do for a living, is program Unix computers.
Okay. Well, I just thought it was interesting. All the things you got, more get. I'll tell you, when you go there, it really looks like a ham shack. I mean, that's what I really picture a ham shack. Yeah,
that's what the wife says, too, shack.
Okay. All right. We have another call. Let me get that. How you doing, Gary? Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Oh, Len, how are you doing this afternoon?
Pretty good. What can we do for you?
Well, I just had a comment on your first caller today. I was thinking about it as I was listening to your show. And I think perhaps he's done a disservice to people that are getting into the hobby.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. In the fact that he says that you should have to build your equipment, or kind of hinted around at that. I really disagree. I just wonder if perhaps that... John and yourself, who are computer buffs, or him, or this fellow, even, is does he build his own computers? If he skis, does he build his own skis? If he rides a bike, does he build his own bike? And I just kind of thought maybe it was a bad impression to leave with people listening to your show that might be thinking about getting involved.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. That's a common sentiment, especially among people who've been in the hobby a long time, and among some of the more technical people. But today is we're in the era of specialization, and if you look at just the specialties needed to build an HF transceiver today, it's quite a few. I don't think anybody should be feel bad about not building their own equipment today. I mean, just using the equipment as ham operators, we tend to learn a lot. You'd be surprised how much anybody who's done much HF work knows about HF propagation, about how to make themselves understood under difficult conditions, about dealing with people from a different culture, and so on. There's a lot of aspects to ham radio, and there are plenty of hams out there that do experiment. I have built my own computer.
Yeah, but you're in the business.
Well, so, yeah.
Well, it's not just for that, Len, and I appreciate that, but I really hate to leave people with the wrong impression, and I just kind of thought that did.
No, I think you're right, Gary. I mean, I would never think about, of course, I don't know enough about it, but I would never think about going out and building my own HF radio, and I don't think that there are too many people out there who can build one as good as ICOM or Yaesu or Kenwood or Tentec can build one. And if we did, I'm not sure we can do it for much less and put all the things they put into it.
Well, that's very true. And another thing to consider there, too, and I'm not trying to do anything commercial here, but if John, who has been in the hobby for a while and I've been in the hobby for a while, if you look at the cost of radio equipment 20 years ago, and I think John will back me up on this, it's cheaper in terms of real dollars now than it's ever been.
Oh, the price performance on today's radios are absolutely amazing. I've got an ICOM 24 here that it just amazes me. I've been in the electronics business long enough to remember when the computing power in an ICOM 24 would fill up a whole building and use 100,000 watts of power just to do the computing it does to run your keyboard. The technology is amazing.
And then you mentioned the 24. Of course, they've come out with a new one and made the 24 somewhat obsolete.
Right after I bought mine.
Well, anyway, I like my 24, and John likes his. I appreciate it, Gary, and you're right. We agree with you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Len, and
okay.
John.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Reinhard, DL1UF, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Yeah, good afternoon, Len. I would like to make a comment in regards to the first ham in space. Actually, it was Yuri Gagarin, the first Soviet space flyer on Vostok 1. And it was in April 61.
Oh, well, you can't win them all. I'll take your word for it.
Now, well, he has a UA3 call sign. I just don't remember it right offhand.
Yeah, I wasn't aware he was a ham at that time.
Yes, he was.
Well, Reinhard, you know, for calling in, I'd like to get you a Sundrop T-shirt.
Well, I would appreciate that.
Okay, we'll put you back on hold and let Ray take the information. But I'd like to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah.
I'm a little ignorant of this. Where are you from?
From Germany.
Germany, okay. And so you speak English pretty well, so you must have been here a long time, huh?
Been around for a while, yes.
Okay. So, well, I appreciate you lived in Carefree for a long time?
About 4 years.
Okay. Well, how do you like it out here in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area?
Right.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you listening to the show and bringing this up. John is duly embarrassed and is all red now.
Well, perhaps we should have phrased it, who was the first ham to operate from space?
Oh, okay. Well, no, but I think that...
That's what I had in mind.
Okay. Yeah. That was pretty good. I appreciate your input, Reinhardt, and I appreciate you listening and participating.
You bet. 73.
73. Now, let me put you on hold, and Ray will take some information from you. Thank you. Okay, let's see. The most sincere salesman I've ever dealt with. I was so pleased. I will tell everybody I know. It was so easy. It was the first time I ever had a no-hassle deal, and boy, was I satisfied. Yes, those are some of the things customers are saying about Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ. Now, I've said it a million times before. These are true. These are what people are saying about buying a car from Ken Nichols, the fleet manager of Linda Brock Auto. But the praise and good words don't stop there. Just recently, Ed Hughes, KX7P, purchased a brand new 1991 Buick Park Avenue from Ken Nichols. See, although Linda Brock stocks Oldsmobiles, BMWs, Dodges, and of course Volkswagen, Ken Nichols has the best deals on any make and any model of new car available. Ed bought a Buick because Ken explained the difference between what Oldsmobile, Buick, and others had to offer. Ed Hughes liked the fact that the Park Avenue has separate air conditioning controls for the passenger and the driver. This way, when he drives up north and his wife says she's cold or something, she can turn her air conditioning vent off and still have an air conditioning vent on for himself. So that's why he bought the Park Avenue. But I was talking to Ed, and what Ed said is, I went to World Rent-A-Car and to other dealers and checked their prices. After I compared, I called Ken. He saved me 25, these are Ed's exact words, he saved me $2,500 or more dollars on so-called deals elsewhere. Ken was extremely friendly and, above all, thorough. Ken even got me some additional accessories near cost. I am very satisfied and recommend Ken. Now, that's what Ed Hughes said, a fellow ham. So why don't you also give Ken a call? Give him a call today. He'll get you the best price going on any vehicle you want, whether it's new or one of his that are in his great group of used vehicles, and all with no hassles at all. Also, remember, save 15% on all parts and labor at Linda Brock just for mentioning Ham Radio and More. That's right. Get your car fixed or your truck fixed at Linda Brock and mention Ham Radio More, and you'll save 15%. And I've used them, and I've got very good results. It's definitely worth going there. Give Ken a call today, and also get a free handsome cap for doing it and a great deal on a great vehicle. Ken Nichols, 228-2336, 228-2336. Fleet prices every day, direct to you, 228-2336. So call Ken. Let's talk, this hour is going pretty fast. Let's talk about Skywarn that you're also involved with. John is involved with more different things. I don't know how he has time to go to the bathroom, but let's talk about Skywarn.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, Skywarn is a National Weather Service program for spotting severe weather and reporting it to the Weather Service. And throughout the country, it makes extensive use of ham radio for that. And we have a Skywarn operation here in Phoenix, in Arizona. And it uses Northlink. It also uses 2 meters. And, in fact, our Northlink Yuma machine was put up to help Skywarn National Weather Service talk to the Yuma area. Basically, when we have these thunderstorms in the summer or the winter storms, in the winter, the Weather Service needs eyes on the street. They need people who can see the weather and report it to them, because they have all their instruments, but there's nothing substitutes for a trained observer. And so they train Skywarn people what to look for, what it looks like, what you don't want to see, mm-hmm. or talk about, and then we report it in through a net control station to them. And people don't realize it, but or maybe after last year they do a little bit more. Arizona really, especially around the valley, has quite a bit of damaging weather. The summer thunderstorms produce what are called microburst winds that do a lot of damage, and those are very hard to spot on the radar. They really need visual observers for that. And also we have tornadoes out here, an average of 4 per year for the state of Arizona.
Where could someone listen to this net, or is it?
When the storms come in, listen on Northlink.
Okay.
And you probably hear the net. If you're interested in it, I didn't set up with the person in charge of it for this show, so I don't have the number to call, but you can call me at 951-9326 later in the week. I'll try and have information available.
It sounds very interesting. I know you were involved, or you had some people, different media used to call you with about incidents of that were problem disasters. Is that correct?
Well,
I know you were telling me something about that.
I'm involved in the Hurricane Watch Net. I've always been interested in storms. That's what explains some of
this. He's a stormy kind of guy. You should see what he wears.
After Hurricane Gilbert caused a lot of media attention, and the TV media went looking for what they call a local tie-in, you know, a local aspect to a national story, and they discovered, I'm not quite sure how, that I was involved with this thing, and they started coming over to my house and doing interviews and stuff like that, and I figured it was a chance to promote ham radio. So, and now there's all kinds of things they call me about. What do you know about Mount Pinatubo? I don't know anything about Mount Pinatubo. When the Lockerbie crash occurred, they called me up. What do you know about Lockerbie? I said, I don't know, but the phones work over there. So I'm not quite sure what to do with them.
Well, calls. You've got your name out there, so, you know, they're all calling you. With a few more minutes left, I need to pass this on, and then we'll get to Nelson, W6UPR. Please stay on. We'll be right with you. Now, this is really fantastic. Actually, almost unbelievable. I've gone to the bakery, and they sliced my bread while I waited. I've gone to the local oil change place. They've changed my oil while I waited. I've gone to the tire store. They've had my tires changed while I waited. I've even gone to the electrical repair store and had a broken appliance, which they fixed while I waited. But this is really unreal. You can go to Wallpaper World at 3006 West Thomas Road, and they will make you a custom mini blind or a custom vertical blind while you wait. That's right. Go to Wallpaper World on Thomas, 30th Avenue in Thomas. Pick out a color for your mini blind. Pick out a vinyl or fabric of your choice, whatever, for a vertical blind. Give them the size you want. They will produce it for you while you wait. Nobody else has ever offered that. I mean, that's just unbelievable. And their prices are right. For less than $68, you can order a custom vertical blind to fit an Arcadia door and have it made while you wait. Go there tomorrow morning, Monday, and get those windows covered. Mention Ham Radio and More, and you will pay no extra for while you wait service, which is usually a slight extra charge. There will be no extra charge if you mention Ham Radio and More. Wallpaper World, 3006 West Thomas Road, the northwest corner of 30th Avenue and Thomas, or call them directly at 272-4788, 272-4788. Remember, they also have 5 other stores to serve you quickly, but not while you wait. That's the only one available is at 30th Avenue in Thomas. Lowest prices on all wallpaper, duets, and M&B wood blinds, too. Wallpaper World makes selecting decorating items an enjoyable experience. Okay. Nelson, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Oh, thank you. Just to let you know that I had some information you might pass on to your listeners regarding that tea hunt that you mentioned about the bum.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I was involved with that taking place about 1966. It was taking place in Los Angeles, and we set up in the Pershing Square area, which is like an underground parking area with a park light on top of it. And basically we had as a communicator too, sitting there, and an old tube radio and just a car battery in one bag full of beer bottles and everything in it, and wine bottles, and another bag with a communicator too, and he had a wire just going up into a tree. And we had a person that didn't shave for about a couple of months, and looked like a pure bum and smelly old clothes he had, and it took persons about almost 5 hours to find him.
Wow. Well, that's different than the one I know that we're talking about in Phoenix, but that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And they sent, most of the people were sent down into the parking lot. The way the antenna was set, they sent everybody downstairs about four or five levels below.
Well, Nelson, we need you to get involved with the tea hunts here in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been about 15 years.
Well, it's time to start. I'm rushing you because there's only a couple of minutes. I got someone else on the line. But give me a call at the radio station here, or give John a call and maybe get together for next month's tea hunt. We'd like to have an avid veteran involved, and also we might even do just a show on tea hunt, some of these extraordinary activities. I think it's neat.
Oh, okay, fine.
Thank you for calling.
Fine, thank you.
Okay, Nelson.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Derek, KG7MR, welcome to Ham Radio and More. We only got about a minute and a half.
Okay, it's Dick, Dog Adam Charlie King. I wanted to first of all ask you to repeat the mailing address so that I could send a QSL card, for myself.
Okay.
And others that did not have the chance to, grab a pencil or a pen at the time.
Okay, I appreciate it. That's Len Winkler at KFNN. 4800 North Central, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. I appreciate all the QSL cards that we can possibly get.
Okay, and also I'd like to mention that when I moved here 15 years ago, all we had in the way of an amateur radio store was a CB shop that had converted, and also a television shop in Glendale. That had a little counter, so I'm real happy to have a full-fledged amateur radio store. I think we need to patronize it more and less patronization to the mail order houses, and keep what we got going rather than asking for more.
Okay, well, I appreciate you calling in, Dick.
Okay, and very good, and I know time's running out here, so we'll keep listening. It's a good show. I appreciate you guys on, and we'll send you a QSL card.
Thank you very much for participating. Really appreciate it.
You betcha.
73s.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Ham Radio and More. I thank you, John, NJ7E, for participating today and being my guest. Next week we'll have ARCA's representatives and Antennas West here. Everybody, please tune in. I want to thank my sponsors, Ken Nichols, Wallpaper World, Showtronics, Antennas West, and Showtronics, and KFNN Radio. And this is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we'll be clear until next week. And again, I thank you all for listening and participating. Send in your QSL cards. Did that hour go fast?
Huh?
Did that hour go fast?